spirit that is earned came from us. That's right. But those are little children, not a second part of it. It is that conversion and salvation is a process. Paul showed the Corinthians that they were little children in God. No, they were in the church. But he said, you are still carnal, because one of you said, well, I'll Paul, and another would follow Peter, and another Apollos, and so he said, I can't yet feed you with strong meat of God's truth. I have to start feeding you with milk. We have to grow up. We're not just suddenly perfect and changed. No one can be. And God doesn't expect it. You know, God was sending his people to Israel into the promised land. And there were cultures there that didn't belong there. And he said, those foreigners, when you get there, I want you to drag them out. And I will see that they go, you have to do the driving. But he said, you can't drive them out all at once. You must do it one at a time. That was like driving on sin, not a bus. You can't do it all at once. If they had, the beasts of the field would have devoured them. We don't get fully converted all at once. We grow in faith and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must grow up to a full man. And God has set a ministry over us till we all come to the fullness and the full stature of adulthood in Christianity and in the truth. Some of you are farther grown up spiritually than others. And we need to have compassion on the little children. And these were little children that went out of the wood of God. They were bathed in Christ. Now you kill a few little children, 3, 4, 6, 8 years old, that's pretty bad. But that's only a mortal children. They'll be resurrected. These ministers went out and killed them for all eternity. God's little children. And they're going to be called to account. I want to know if any of you ever have a pastor like that that is against headquarters. Because Lucifer and his angels were against headquarters, where Lucifer had been trained. He was given this beautiful earth. He was given everything. But he got resentful. He got resentful against any government over, any power over him. You feel resentful when I tell you that God would put me over you within the church? Well, if you knew, you better repent of it. Or you will never grow one more inch spiritually, and you will never get into the kingdom of God. I think some of our people have got get on mind. I tell kings, and I tell prime ministers and presidents, there are two ways of living. One is get, and the other is give. Now the get way means vanity, lust, and greed. The get way is toward others, envy and jealousy, and hate. Toward others, it is competition, which leads to strife and violence. It is resentment of authority and resentment of anyone who steps on your toes. You say, I'll not get there, but I'll get him. That is the way of get. The way of give is the way of love. And it's love toward God, first of all, and knowing that God doesn't want anything from us except to give us all the best. It's the way of loving your neighbor as yourself, of praying for your neighbor, of wanting to help your neighbor. It's the way of serving, of helping, of sharing. We don't have much of that in this world. Mankind chose their own way, and that's where we're going, and that's why we're having the troubles that we are in the world today. Now then, God had to have a government over these angels. And they had to obey that government and go that way, or they never could have done what God wanted done. And instead of that, they went the wrong way. And so, they built a wrong character. And once they had built that character within themselves, it was set for all eternity, and they are immortal. They will live forever. Now, that So is a peace, meaning God and the Word together. And they two form God completely. The only one or ones in the whole universe that would never violate that way of God of love. In other words, would never sin. It is impossible for God to sin. What was God going to do about it? Why is man here? God said, I have created the highest, the most powerful being that can be created, but I couldn't automatically put character in it. To do it, God would have to make him an automaton that had no mind of his own, that could not think for himself, could not make a choice. And it wouldn't have been a great being if God had done that. And so God in his wisdom knew he had to let this archangel, let the angels under him make their own decisions. They had to have minds that could think, could reason, could come to decisions. And they thought the wrong way. And they resented God and God's authority. There are the most unhappy people in all the world. I have talked to a number of demons. I've cast them out of people. I know them. I've talked to them. They're sad. Well, one kind of sassy, another is a different way. They have their different personalities. I've cast a few of them out. 2 Peter 2, beginning with verse 4, you read of the angels of sin. In Jude, I think it's verse 6, I forget. It talks of the angels that kept not their first estate. This earth was their first estate. But look, I want to give you a little idea of what God has in mind and what he is going to do with us and with man. Turn over here into Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, and beginning with verse 5. And it says, for unto the angels hath he, God, not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Now there is a key note of the whole book of Hebrews, the world to come, which we speak. It will not be under angels. They were here on this earth. They had the chance to develop holy righteous character so they would all go together under the law and the rule and the government of God. Instead, the government of God was removed from this earth. Now God is the only one who had that kind of character. And God must have thought like I thought a lot of times when I have more to do than I can get done. I said there just aren't enough of me. I wish there were a dozen of me and I could do 12 times as much. But there aren't a dozen of me, there's only one of me. But God said, I will reproduce myself. I will make millions and millions of me. He said of himself. But God knew that he would have to make them all a matter and not of the Spirit. The angels were formed of the Spirit. So he formed man of the dust of the ground. Now then, I want you to go back here to the 104th Psalm, and in verse 30, where, just a minute, I'm trying to look too far. Verse 30, where it says, thou, God, sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created. The Holy Spirit is the power of God that does the making and the creating. And thou revealest the face of the earth. The sin of these angels had certainly brought destruction to the earth. They polluted the soil of the earth. They polluted the water. They polluted the air. Man was put here to do something better with it. And what has man done with this earth? We polluted the soil. We polluted the waters. We have polluted the air. You got any smog around here? Be sure heaven won't match. Now, God is going to build character in reproducing himself. And yet God can't put that character in people. They have to come to want it and be willing to receive it, and then it has to come from God. Oh, what a marvelous thing this was. God now is about to do the greatest thing that God could do ever did. south. And Jacob would be millions of objects. And they would all be under its law. They would all cooperate and go together in love. But the government of God was gone from the earth. The earth was in darkness and had come to a state of decay. It was waste and empty. So we go on back here in Genesis, and the earth was. The word was is otherwise translated became, or came to be, without form and void. The Hebrew words are so human voice. They mean waste and empty. They mean degenerated down into decay. They didn't start out in decay, they went into decay. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was all covered with water. There was no land. And it was waste and empty. And there was no man here, no being here. And the Spirit of God moved upon the water. Now I just read you, he said, for the Spirit there created and he renewed the face of the earth. So now God said, let there be light. He began to renew the face of the earth. He began to create it for man, whom he was going to create in his own image to reproduce himself. Now, God went ahead and he brought the land up and continents, so that there are oceans and continents, there are lakes and rivers. He made the air pure, he made the water crystal clear. Everything was made perfect for man. He even put beauty here. He put beautiful flowers, beautiful animals. And if you ever attended a livestock show, you know how beautiful prize bulls, prize cows, prize hens and roosters, prize birds, how beautiful they can be. Sometimes I almost think some hogs can be beautiful. But I know I don't need one. So finally, I count now to the sixth day, God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every beast that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Not bad. Every time God shows the condition of what he has made, it is very good. That's the only way God can create it. I ever done it. I guess good for anything I want. Then God said, let us make man, not me, us, to the Father and of the Word. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. In other words, let's make man after the God kind. God was reproducing himself. But he didn't make man out of spirit like angels. Because in the seventh, the next chapter, chapter 2, the eternal God made man of the dust of the ground. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man, what man made out of dust of the ground, became a living soul. So a living soul was made out of the dust of the ground. A soul then is mortal. A soul can die. And in the next chapter, God talked to man. Before Lucifer, who now has his name changed to Satan, could get to him, God spoke to them and showed them the way of gift, the way of love. And God put a choice before them. Just as later, he put a choice between Israel. Choice of right and death. But he said, choose life. But man had to choose. We have to make up our own minds so there can be no character. God doesn't force us to do it this way or that. Now, God made man of the dust of the ground. And to the man, he knew he needed help. So he made a wife. God said that it's not good for a man to be alone. A lot of people don't agree with that. They think it's better for a man to be alone. At least as far as I'm concerned, they do. I don't exactly agree with all of them. Because I rather agree with God. He says it's not good that a man should be alone. You make it out there if you want to. You've heard a lot of rumors. Anyhow, I'm going to do whatever I chose me to do, and I'm not going to ask your permission.
Incomprehensible. God's word is dropping off. I'm taking on the leadership that maybe I'm neglecting a little bit. I repent of that. Some ministers don't believe in tithing. Well, I'm going to run around. I'm going to find out who they are. I'm not going to begin to believe in tithing or get out of the church. I'm going to rule in love and compassion too. But if they're going to cause division and sow the seed, the false doctrine, they don't belong here. I can't help it, the ones I love the most. I tell you too, that the top ministers that I love, as I love my own son, Brother Ted, have gone out of the church. That hurts. But I can't help it if they're not going to go along with God. Two can't walk together except they be agreed, and I'm going to walk with God. And they can't walk with Him too. Our fellowship is not just with ourselves, dear brother. Our fellowship is with Christ and with the Father. And we can't walk with them unless we walk their way. You know that. You can't dictate to them. Now we have to wake up and realize some of these things. Well, so man went Satan's way. Man rejected God and rebelled against the government of God and rejected it. And then God said, all right, you have rejected me. You have brought a barrier between you and me so that you cannot get to me. And I won't hear you. And so God said, I am setting a 7,000 year program. The first 6,000 years, I am going to adopt a hands-off policy. You said you want to decide what is right and what is wrong. I'm going to let you decide it now. For 6,000 years. And I know that you have listened to Satan and he's still going to be here. And he's still going to deceive you. And he's going to deceive you into the wrong way. And I'm going to let 6,000 years of human experience, which will result in human suffering, human anger, and human heart, and human unhappiness of every kind, teach you ultimately the lesson. Man has written that lesson in blood and anguish and pain and sorrow. But he hasn't learned it and he hasn't come to believe it yet. Only 120 believe what Jesus said after he preached to tens of thousands for 3.5 years. I preach these things to audiences all over the world, in the world capitals. I preach to them what I'm telling you now. And you know, some of them don't believe a word I'm saying. And I say, I know a lot of you don't believe what I'm saying. But your ears are open and they've got it. And I've done my part. I got it through to you. And if you didn't accept it, you're going to answer right now. I've done my part. I'm going to continue. They're going to continue going the way that they go. Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Now I want you to remember at this point the grand purpose of God, that we take all the universe and it has now come to a state of decay as a result of what the angels did. And that's the whole universe. Now, what is God calling man to do? God has not intervened in man's life from that time until now, except the few cases of the few that God knew it was important to his ultimate purpose that he intervened in a few cases. God must have intervened a little bit in the case of Abel, because Christ told him righteous Abel, Cain slew him. Well, God intervened to punish Cain for that. Cain didn't agree with God and said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You're not fair, God. We've had a lot of Cains ever since. Then Enoch walked with God. Now, two can't walk together except that they agree. So Enoch agreed with God. And there's no other man for 1900 years mentioned in the Bible that would agree with God and walk with him. than we come to Noah. And Noah was the only man on the face of the earth, and there were billions of people by that time. They had a population explosion just like we have right now. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be now, and it is. In every way. And Noah was the only man of all those billions of people that would listen to God, would believe God, would obey God, would walk with God. God told him to do something certainly looked very foolish. He said, I want you to build a great massive ship, an ark. Well, here it was on the right of man, and it was a long ways to the sea. That looked like the most foolish thing to do, build a great big ship. There was no way to haul it over to the water. But he didn't put it. He said, yes, Lord, and you must work building. Now, some way he must have had a little influence over his sons because they helped him. He must have hired other men because I'm pretty sure he was a wealthy man. Others mocked him. They jeered at him. They must have spit in his face like they did in Christ's face later. He got it built. And when he got it built and the rest of them were mocking and snaring and laughing, then God said, let the water come up from underground. And God began to rain. And it rained for 40 days. And the rest of the world were all brown like so many brown rats. God saved them, or they would not have been one human being. But he saved 8 souls. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons and their wife, all because of Noah's righteousness, not because of theirs. Later, God found a man that would listen to him and do what he said. He said, Abram, I want you to leave the bright lights of Babylon. I want you to go over to a wilderness I'm going to show you. All it says is, Abram went. Now he just said, but wait a minute, Lord, I've got all these bright lights here, all the fun here, here's where all the entertainment is. I don't want to be here. What do you want to take me away from all this for? And can I go away? That's what nearly anyone else would have done. They would have argued with God, not Abram. So God later changed his name to Abraham, meaning the father of many nations, and said, I'll make you the father of many nations. Well, his son Isaac and his son Jacob. And keeping his family a little bit all the time. And then there's Joseph. They're all going to be in the kingdom of God. Then we skip about 430 years, at least from the time of Abraham, and we find millions of their descendants, slaves in Egypt. God chose Moses, and Moses was 40 years old when he began to try to, in his own strength, save his own people. When he killed a man and smiting another, one of his own people, he was 40. Then when he was 80, God said, I'm going to take you on to other parts of the world. That's exactly what God did to me when I was 40. He started, I was 40 when he commissioned me. And when this work started, I was 40. And I was 80 when he sent me to the rest of the world as a king and to other nations speaking other languages. God does things that's funny. He does things in a certain way. Sometimes he works in strange ways as wonders to perform, but he did. And we're still getting this message out. Amen. To accomplish his purpose, which is such a grand purpose of restoring the entire universe. God has kept hands off for the first 6,000 years. 6,000 years is about up. Also, he told us what would happen at this time, and it's happened, as it was in the days of Noah. The same thing. We're approaching the Great Tribulation. The last Feast of Tabernacles, I started out by telling you that we come to this feast in the midst of the most trouble and the worst times that the world has ever known. And that's back at the time of the flood. I could have started out this way, same way today, but I wanted to give you the other side of the coin this time, in this feast. And so, left man's all. He let man go his own way, and what man sows, he's had to reap. But man still thinks he can pull through. He still doesn't want God to come to ruin. He still wants to go on doing it his own way. He still wants to bring more and more suffering on himself. That's the world you live in. And it was in such a world that Christ came. And he brought the message of the kingdom of God that was going to rule the world and bring peace all God's way under the government of God. But only 120 believed in 3.5 years. Then his apostles went out, and the church began to grow. It was back to the apostles. God knew that his apostles needed people back of them to help them, to pray for them, to encourage them. We seem to think today it's the duty of the minister to encourage and bolster up you people. Sometimes we need a little encouragement from you. I'm going to put you to a test pretty soon. I'm going to just see how you are. How far you are with me, how far you are with the Christ that is with me too. And I am with him. Well, Christ came into such a world, they rejected him. He brought the message, the good news, and an announcement of the coming government of God to be restored to this earth once again. How long do you think that lasted? By 60 AD, they had already turned to a different gospel. Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7. I won't take time now to read it. Time is really flying on. I'm going to hold you a little bit, and I'm going to miss a concert in the auditorium and pass it in if I do. I want to get back for it, because there have been concerts there tonight that I'm going to hear. Nevertheless, this is more important than that now. Let me see. God set out this whole thing. Christ came at the end of about 4,000 years. And that started the way that some could be converted and get into God's kingdom. Now, God has not tried to convert people between Adam and the flood. As I say, there are only three names we have that one went with God. God did not save the world. God did not put his character in the people, and they didn't want it, and he didn't try to force it on them in any manner, shape, or form. Then, from the time of Abraham and the time of the nation Israel, God did not offer Israel any spiritual salvation. He only offered Israel economic and national and material rewards. He offered them if they could become the greatest nation on earth, the wealthiest, and the greatest in the mightiest. Not once did he offer them the Holy Spirit. They still were cut off from God. But God did send them certain prophets to tell them God's way, to teach them God's way, to give them a chance if they could turn back, as they had promised they would do. God didn't force them to become his nation. He put up a proposition to them through Moses. If you will do so and so, then I will do so and so to you. And it was a covenant, an agreement. All God promised to pay them the national, physical, material wealth and well-being. Well, they promised. They didn't keep their promise. God was willing to keep his, but they wouldn't keep theirs. Now we come to the end of the holy days, and they picture God's program from there on. First was the Passover, which was the picture of the death of Christ to pay the penalty we have incurred in our stead. Angels have no other pay their penalty. Christ came and began to make flesh like we are. He was one of us. But being God also, he never sinned, though tested in every point like we are. So, the Passover pictures the crucified Christ. And his crucifixion doesn't save us, it only makes it possible. In other words, it takes away the wall between us and God, which is our sin. Then come the 7 days of unleavened bread. That teaches us we have got to turn away from Satan's way of getting. And from the way Satan turned the angels, and the whole world in the same way that Satan and the angels did, we have been defacing this earth. We've been destroying this earth that God gave us. So turn away from that, repent of that, and begin to keep the law of God. Turn away from sin. The Seventh-day Adventist brethren teach us that. If we will listen. Then comes the day of Pentecost. And that is to teach us something that I think almost none of us believe. That is to teach us that we are only the infinitesimal little tiny person of people God is saving spiritually. That God is not calling others. God is not converting others. You would see, if you will read here in John, wait till I turn to it, John 6:44. Jesus said, no man can come to me. He just can't do it. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. Now how does the Father decide whom to draw? Predestination means that God predestinated Son before the world was to be called now, to have a chance now to repent and to come through Christ. So that we can overcome Satan while Satan's still here. And if we do that, we can reign with Christ on his throne. Now, Jesus Christ, to qualify to restore the government of God to this earth, has to meet Satan and overcome him, and resist his way and go God. You find the great test in the fourth chapter of Matthew, and Jesus Christ did it. And finally, he gave an order to Satan and said, I'll be the boss now. You get out of here. That's an order. And Satan obeyed the order and got out. He slunk out. Now, there are some that are going to lay a good place on his throne. If he has to qualify by resisting Satan, so do we. That's why we are being called now while Satan is still here, and we have to resist him the same as Jesus did. Others, the majority, 999 at least out of every thousand, I guess a bigger number than that, are not being called. You try to tell that any of the truth I'm giving you, they'll laugh at you and tell you that you're crazy. Without God's Holy Spirit, you can't understand what I'm saying. Perhaps some of you here today aren't understanding and don't believe what I'm saying. If you don't have God's Holy Spirit in you, your mind won't accept it. You can't do it. For those, God has the time coming. God has not been calling people to salvation. God isn't trying to get the world saved. He set out this first 6,000 years for man to write the word in human anguish and suffering and pain that he brings on himself. To show him that this wrong way will bring him nothing else. After the day of Pentecost, which is the feast of first fruits, showing us that we're the very first harvest, and that God is trying to save the rest of the world now, and that every one of us, if we've been called, we're predestinated for the world wants to be called. I'm going to have to write this article. There was an article in the Good News. I don't know if the last issue or the next to the last issue. Written by four of our best scholars. Four of our best scholars and ministers. One of our people was not a minister, I'm not sure. They went into every little detail, and they got every little tiny twig and little tiny branch out there and answered it properly. The predestination has nothing to do with the decision you will make. But they did tell us what it does have to do with and why. And why is predestination? Sometimes I feel like Jesus said in the poems I put up. I teach these things and they don't get it. They just don't get it. Predestination is that God calls some to qualify like Jesus did by resisting Satan while he's still here. That's the meaning of predestination, and it has nothing to do with the decision you're going to make. They did bring that point out very well in that article. I guess I'll write it. fifth part gives its true name. Some of us have been called. Now, the next of the annual holy days is the Feast of Trumpets. We had that just about 15 months. 15 plus 7. About 22 days ago, 21. That pictures the second coming of Christ. And he's coming to reign and to rule. And that's the end of the 6,000 years. And the first thing he's going to do is put Satan away. And the fast day, the 10th day of the 7th month, is the picture of putting Satan away. Because Christ has come to restore the kingdom of God to this earth. But this time, it's not only the government of God, it is the kingdom of God. Now the difference is this. The kingdom of God are the children of God that are born children. The angels were only created children of God. This time it'll be not just the government of God, it will be the kingdom of God ruling with the government of God. The Feast of Tabernacles, which ended at sunset last night, pictures the great war harvest. We're going to rule the world. We're going to have world peace. Satan will be gone. We'll have the land without Satan. And God will call everybody to salvation. And everybody's not going to accept it. Some won't. But I think most will. I hope that they will. I don't know. They'll have to make that decision for themselves. But those that are called now are going to sit with Christ on his throne. We're going to rule. But those being converted then after Christ comes, that doesn't apply to them. That applies to us. We're going to have a greater glory, a greater honor, a greater responsibility, a greater accomplishment to do that we're being called now than those that will come later. Oh, brethren, why can't we get these things and get this truth and understand it? Sometimes the only ones that God called and gave his Holy Spirit to between the time of Israel were the prophets, and he gave them the Holy Spirit because they had a job to do and they needed the Holy Spirit to do it. God has given us now of this generation a job to do, and we need God's Holy Spirit to do it, and that's why he's to save some of us in the sense that he's given us the Holy Spirit. And he gave it to us to get back to what he's called me to do. And some of you think, well, why should I get back to Mr. Armstrong? What do I care about what he's doing way over in world capitals on the other side of the earth? I know what I want. I want to get salvation. I want to get into the kingdom of God. I want to get. And you won't get anything but hellfire. I mean a lake fire that'll burn you up. God has given us the Holy Spirit to get this job done. For me, the Lord, as I'm doing and knowing what I'm doing. For you to get back to me with prayer. Do you pray hard enough so as they did when Peter and John were frightened and went to the brethren for help so that they in the whole building around you shake? The Holy Spirit comes in such power. Do you put your hearts into a prayer for him like that? You know you don't, brethren. This church needs an awakening. This church needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I don't mean the kind of Pentecostal people talk about. I mean we need a renewing of the Holy Spirit of God. I mean we need to put our hearts in our prayer. Not more than they do. Just making formal prayer for the well-born. It makes me think of my grandson, Dick. I think he's over big 70 now. He's about 18 now. He's my